but he stopped short, feeling an unexpected sensation at the back of his neck. A faint breeze seemed to be emanating from the bottom of the box. How is that possible? He lay very still, taking stock. Yes, definitely. He could feel the tiny hairs on the back of his neck being tickled by air movement. Instinctively, Langdon began feeling along the floor of the box, searching for the source of the air. It took only a moment to locate. There's a tiny vent. The small perforated opening felt similar to a drain plate on a sink or tub, except that a soft, steady breeze was now coming up through it. He's pumping air in for me. He doesn't want me to suffocate. Langdon's relief was short-lived. A terrifying sound was now emanating up through the holes in the vent. It was the unmistakable gurgle of flowing liquid coming his way. Catherine stared in disbelief at the clear shaft of liquid that was progressing down one of the pipes toward Langdon's crate. The scene looked like some kind of twisted stage magician's act.
He's pumping water into the crate?
Catherine strained at her bonds, ignoring the deep bite of the wires around her wrists. All she could do was look on in panic. She could hear Langdon pounding in desperation, but as the water reached the underside of the container, the pounding stopped. There was a moment of terrified silence. Then the pounding started again with renewed desperation.
Let him out, Catherine begged. Please, you can't do this.
Drowning is a terrible death, you know.
The man spoke calmly as he paced around her in circles.
Your assistant Trish could tell you that.
Catherine heard his words, but she could barely process them.
You may remember that I almost drowned once,
the man whispered.
It was on your family's estate in Potomac. Your brother shot me, and I fell through the ice, out at Zack's bridge.
Catherine glared at him, filled with loathing.
The night you killed my mother.
The gods protected me that night,
he said,
and they showed me the way to become one of them.
The water gurgling into the box behind Langdon's head felt warm. Body temperature. The fluid was already several inches deep and had completely swallowed the back of his naked body. As it began creeping up his ribcage, Langdon felt a stark reality closing in fast.
I'm going to die.
With renewed panic, he raised his arms and began pounding wildly again. Chapter 101.
You've got to let him out,
Catherine begged, crying now.
We'll do whatever you want.
She could hear Langdon pounding more frantically as the water flowed into his container. The tattooed man just smiled.
You're easier than your brother. The things I had to do to get Peter to tell me his secrets.
Where is he?
She demanded.
Where is Peter? Tell me. We did exactly what you wanted. We solved the pyramid and—
No. You did not solve the pyramid. You played a game. You withheld information and brought a government agent to my home. Hardly behavior I intend to reward.
We didn't have a choice,
she replied, choking back the tears.
The CIA is looking for you. They made us travel with an agent. I'll tell you everything. Just let Robert out.
Catherine could hear Langdon shouting and pounding in the crate, and she could see the water flowing through the pipe. She knew he didn't have a lot of time. In front of her, the tattooed man spoke calmly, stroking his chin.
I assume there are agents waiting for me at Franklin Square?
Catherine said nothing, and the man placed his massive palms on her shoulders, slowly pulling her forward. With her arms still wire-bound behind the chair back, her shoulders strained, burning with pain, threatening to dislocate.
Yes, Catherine said. There are agents at Franklin Square.
He pulled harder.
What is the address on the capstone?
The pain in her wrists and shoulders grew unbearable, but Catherine said nothing.
You can tell me now, Catherine, or I'll break your arms and ask you again.
8, she gasped in pain. The missing number is 8. The capstone says, the secret hides within the order, 8 Franklin Square. I swear it. I don't know what else to tell you. It's 8 Franklin Square.
The man still did not release her shoulders.
That's all I know, Catherine said. That's the address. Let go of me. Let Robert out of that tank.
I would, the man said. But there's one problem. I can't go to 8 Franklin Square without being caught. Tell me, what's at that address?
I don't know.
And the symbols on the base of the pyramid? On the underside? Do you know their meaning?
What symbols on the base?
Catherine had no idea what he was talking about.
The bottom has no symbols. It's smooth blank stone.
Apparently immune to the muffled cries for help emanating from the coffin-like crate, the tattooed man calmly padded over to Langdon's daybag and retrieved the stone pyramid. Then he returned to Catherine and held it up before her eyes so she could see the base. When Catherine saw the engraved symbols, she gasped in bewilderment.
But that's impossible.
The bottom of the pyramid was entirely covered with intricate carvings.
There was nothing there before. I'm sure of it.
She had no idea what these symbols could possibly mean. They seemed to span every mystical tradition, including many she could not even place.
Total chaos.
I have no idea what this means, she said.
Nor do I, her captor said. Fortunately, we have a specialist at our disposal.
He glanced at the crate.
Let's ask him, shall we?
He carried the pyramid toward the crate. For a brief instant of hope, Catherine thought he was going to unclasp the lid. Instead, he sat calmly on top of the box, reached down, and slid a small panel to one side, revealing a plexiglass window in the top of the tank.
Light!
Langdon covered his eyes, squinting into the ray of light that now streamed in from above. As his eyes adjusted, hope turned to confusion. He was looking up through what appeared to be a window in the top of his crate. Through the window, he saw a white ceiling and a fluorescent light. Without warning, a tattooed face appeared above him, peering down.
Where is Catherine? Langdon shouted. Let me out!
The man smiled.
Your friend Catherine is here with me, the man said. I have the power to spare her life. Your life as well. But your time is short, so I suggest you listen carefully.
Langdon could barely hear him through the glass, and the water had risen higher, creeping across his chest.
Are you aware,
the man asked,
that there are symbols on the base of